Imagine trying to access Google in China. Sometimes it loads perfectly, other times it's frustratingly slow. Occasionally, it doesn't load at all. This isn't a technical glitch, it's deliberate design. China's censorship doesn't simply block information, it taxes it through inconvenience. This subtle approach represents a fundamental shift in how authoritarian regimes control information in the digital age. Rather than building impenetrable walls, they create just enough friction to discourage most users while allowing determined citizens through. The genius lies in its plausible deniability. When websites load slowly, is it censorship or just poor internet service? This question lies at the heart of Margaret Roberts' groundbreaking analysis of China's information control system. China's censorship relies on three mechanisms: fear, threats of punishment, friction, increasing access costs, and flooding, overwhelming with propaganda. Surprisingly, fear proves least effective. When users encounter obvious censorship, they often react with curiosity or anger rather than compliance. Studies show censored users are actually more likely to persist in discussing sensitive topics and twice as likely to complain about censorship. Only 5% report feeling fearful after experiencing censorship, while 23% feel angry. Instead, friction and flooding do the heavy lifting. By making sensitive information slightly harder to find rather than impossible to access, the government creates a system where most citizens simply don't bother looking. When websites are throttled to load slowly, traffic drops dramatically. Even minor delays for sensitive topics on social media reduce discussion by over 80%. This approach is remarkably cost-effective and difficult to detect. The Great Firewall can be easily circumvented using VPNs, yet only about 5% of Chinese internet users do so. Why? Not primarily because of fear. When asked, only 2% cited fear of punishment and 9% mentioned legal concerns. Instead, 45% said they had no reason to jump the firewall, 15% didn't know how, and 14% found it too bothersome. These small frictions, not outright prohibition, keep most Chinese netizens within government-approved information spaces. The friction-based approach creates two distinct online populations. Those who circumvent the firewall represent a specific demographic: highly educated, politically engaged citizens with technical skills and resources. They're typically younger, under 35, college-educated, 75% compared to 25% among non-evaders, and wealthier, averaging $22,839 annually compared to $14,029 among non-evaders. Content analysis reveals profound differences between Chinese Twitter users requiring VPN access and those on domestic platforms Sina Weibo. Twitter users frequently discuss sensitive political topics, use terms like freedom and democracy, and demonstrate an international outlook. In contrast, Weibo users remain starkly apolitical, focusing on entertainment, relationships, and celebrities. This digital divide effectively separates potential political leaders from the masses, preventing the coordination between elites and ordinary citizens necessary for collective action. The government achieves practical control without perfect control, a remarkably efficient approach to maintaining political stability. While friction-based censorship works remarkably well under normal circumstances, it has a critical weakness: crisis events. During crises, citizens become more politically motivated to seek information regardless of cost. The Tianjin chemical explosion of 2015 demonstrates this perfectly. The massive industrial accident raised serious safety concerns, and VPN usage in Tianjin jumped from 5% before the disaster to nearly 30% afterward. Similarly, when Instagram was suddenly blocked during the 2014 Hong Kong protests, it not only drove VPN adoption, but increased signups for previously blocked platforms like Twitter and Facebook. The sudden restriction created a ripple effect of digital migration, inadvertently exposing users to more politically sensitive communities. This pattern reveals a fundamental challenge for censorship regimes. When people are sufficiently motivated by immediate concerns, they will overcome technical barriers. During these periods, the government shifts strategy from friction to flooding, acknowledging that complete information control becomes impossible during crises. When friction fails, flooding becomes the preferred strategy. After a deadly earthquake struck Yunnan Province in 2014, state media orchestrated a coordinated campaign about an internet celebrity's confession to gambling and prostitution, reviving a three-year-old scandal to divert attention from disaster response criticism. Unlike Western assumptions that China's online commentators primarily argue with critics, analysis reveals their main strategy is distraction through positive content. About 85% of government-sponsored posts focus on patriotism, encouragement, or celebrations of Chinese culture rather than direct arguments. This shifts the ratio of government to citizen information, making people more likely to encounter and share propaganda rather than alternative viewpoints. The flooding approach works like a subsidy rather than a tax, making competing information cheaper and off-limits information relatively more expensive to access. This sophisticated approach allows the government to shape public discourse without obvious censorship. The implications extend far beyond China. The digital revolution has transformed free speech globally, blurring distinctions between democratic and authoritarian information control. While historical analysis focused on the basic right to speak publicly, today's challenges center on visibility and reach in an overwhelmingly crowded digital space. Search algorithms, controlled by major tech corporations, now wield unprecedented influence over information flow. Government bureaucracies shape the landscape through selective data releases and regulatory frameworks. Well-funded interest groups flood communication channels with targeted messaging, effectively drowning out competing voices through volume rather than direct suppression. As traditional journalism faces financial crisis, the vacuum is increasingly filled by politically motivated content producers. This transformation demands reimagining free speech protections for the digital age, including transparency requirements for algorithms, anti-monopoly measures, and support for independent journalism. Aldous Huxley's observations in Brave New World prove increasingly relevant. The most effective control comes not through force, but through manipulating desires and attention. Modern censorship operates primarily through sophisticated information taxes that alter incentive structures, making it cognitively costly to seek alternative viewpoints while making approved content more accessible. The battle for control no longer centers on restricting access to information, but on influencing what information people are likely to encounter, engage with, and ultimately believe. As these subtle control mechanisms spread globally, understanding them becomes essential for preserving genuine public discourse and democratic values. The greatest threat to information freedom isn't the locked door, it's the path of least resistance that gently guides us away from what matters most.